Pardon me? A different connection, yes, different meeting.
Kevin Robbins here.
At least I've got the contact info if you need it.
Kevin, we were waiting on that. They're finishing up another meeting, so we'll get going. This is Craig Tankey also.
Felix M. Lopez, he is waiting on me. I've got my nose stuck in a piece of paper.
So let me know when you're ready to rush.
Okay, it'll be another 3 or 4 minutes. Okay.
Okay, Tony, are you on there?
I am.
Yeah, I would. Okay.
Well, I don't have to. Okay. Today is July 31st. It is 11:16. I'll make the order, Commissioner. I think it's local. Please see this.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together today and work in your name and continue to anoint us and guide us every step of the way, one day at a time, in your precious name. Amen.
And for those of you online, if you please mute your devices so we don't have any interference. Commissioner Haas, would you please lead us in a pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hess?
Here.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Here.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Here.
Approval agenda. We have any changes or issues?
No, Commissioner, no changes.
Okay, motion, please.
Motion. Second.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Discussion with Wilden Performance Engineering. Mr. Clark.
Wilden Engineering Consulting Group had requested a work session with the board. Weston, you'll take it from here.
Yes, sir. How are you? Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
I apologize. Colton Heaps, our design lead, broke his femur or his hip falling off a ladder. So you're kind of stuck with me. But we have, I'll go ahead and let my team introduce themselves and we'll kind of jump into why we're here. And we won't take all your time today. By any means, but Nick, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, Craig, to follow?
Sure. Hi, everybody. I'm Nick Peterson, electrical engineer with Wildan Performance Engineering.
Patrick. Hey guys, this is Craig Lytle with Tankey Glazing here. We're going to be the contract glazer on the project. I've also got Kevin Robbins and Anastasia. Sorry, I forgot Anastasia's last name. With Apogee Renovation Group. Apogee is the parent company of multiple companies that we buy a lot of product from, and this, you know, helping us in the design phases on a building like what you guys have is really their specialty. So I've engaged them to kind of listen in and offer any insight they can.
Patrick, do you want to introduce yourself?
On mute, bud.
Patrick Kearns, do you want to introduce yourself?
I think Patrick's having audio trouble there. Patrick, you're on mute. Patrick is another electrical engineer with our group. We're working on this one.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Yeah, this is Patrick Kearns, electrical engineer with Wildan.
Riveting. So we we're getting kicked off, everyone, with the kind of second phase of the kind of master planning and effort that the county's been underway for quite a while now. The main scope of work for what we're getting started on is a comprehensive electrical renovation of the county courthouse, as well as a comprehensive replacement of the courthouse windows. In addition to some low voltage wiring scope around a new phone system and internal communication system. So, Phil and Kim and Christy and Paula, they've been working really hard for a couple of years now, and they've got the funding for a few grants to fund this project. So we're feeling good about where we are, and we're time to take it off paper and start getting messy around there. What we want to do today with the county is, we'll continue to work with that group going forward. We do want to get with the commissioners to make sure that they knew that you guys were in line with what we're doing, what the project intent is, and then also get your collaborative feedback on the broader topics down to the minute details. I know I've been there before asking about things like conduit and how we're going to run electrical, what the windows will look like, are they going to be pink or purple, right? And all that. So we want to make sure that that we did get your feedback, and we'll continue to do so after this meeting. But we just kind of want to give you an overlay of the scope and kind of start a discussion. Phil, I don't know how much time we have on the agenda. Can you make sure you tell us to be quiet and move on when we're ready?
I will.
Thank you.
But you've got as much time as you need.
Okay. So I can share my screen on a few things perhaps, but I'm going to go ahead and let Craig kick it off with the Windows project. And if we need to bring anything up, just let me know, and I have it ready to go. But Craig's going to kind of talk through what the scope intent is, what our understanding of the window replacement is. I know we've had a couple pieces of feedback around bulletproof glass on the first and second floor. That kind of feedback is great. That's the kind of things you need to start honing in. And so, Craig, if you want to go ahead and jump in.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to working with you guys. Appreciate you getting us involved. I mean, it's exciting. I know the windows are actually in pretty good shape for their age, but I'm sure you guys are excited to get some new ones in there. And from what I've heard, doesn't sound like a lot of them operate either. So, overall, in the window industry is a lot like other industries. There are several correct answers as to what we're going to want to do on this building. Ultimately our goal is going to be to find the most correct answer, and working with the Historic Society, making sure those folks aren't going to give us any trouble as to what the new windows are going to look like, make sure we maintain the integrity of the building, but also the impact of, how the windows are going to impact your building overall. Wildan Group had sent out a general agenda today, and as far as electrical as to what you guys are gonna be doing to get your new HVAC system in there down the line. The new windows no doubt will have an impact on that, and a good impact. And that's the nice part is we've partnered up with the Apogee renovation team, so they can not only provide us some insight, helping us with sight lines and do this versus that to maintain the historic integrity of the building. But also to say, hey, look, we can give you a good solid estimate as you're going to save X amount of kilowatts per year. And Kevin, I don't know if you want to kind of chime in as to, what kind of, information we'll be looking to provide them.
Yeah, so Apogee Renovation is an initiative that does offer these services as a the tool that we use, our utility grade tools that you can pretty much go to your local utility and they'll confirm that what we have is definitely something that they would accept. One of the things that we'll do is provide you with your annual estimated energy savings forecast based on your kilowatt hours and or therms that are used in your facility. What it takes on our end is some pretty easy to obtain information. Basically, it's the amount of square footage of vision glass by elevation is one of the areas that we need. We need to know what the composition of the existing glass and frame looks like. because we not only look at the U factor and the solar heat gain of the glass, but we also look at the relative degree of air infiltration from the window system to be able to report back what kind of saving. So the tools we use are pretty sophisticated. We use the Sephera modeling tool, and the reporting that comes back to you is pretty easy to understand, pretty digestible, and should give you a good idea when you make your investment, at least what some of the offsetting savings will be as well.
Great. And I don't know how, I guess you guys feel free to stop me as to how much of a window nerd you want me to get into on this conversation. As it stands today, I'd sent an email to Weston and Colton. I'd like to come out to the site on the 13th. I'd actually be coming into town on the 13th and the 14th. It's where I can answer a lot more of your specific questions that might come up. I don't know if that date works for you or not, but obviously I've seen a bunch of pictures. I've done all my homework on your building, so feel free to shoot any specific questions you have on there. I guess, Weston, did that kind of give you the summary as you were looking for me to provide?
Yeah, if you could just kind of speak through the scope of 10 in terms of the full replacement, what parts of the window we're replacing, how we're going to maintain the historical intent. Removing that, what's being removed, what's being replaced, and
sure thing.
I have a question.
Mr. Lopez, go ahead.
Yes, so you're talking about the measuring the evaluation of energy savings. What is the process? I know you talked about the per square footage of glass, but can you walk us through a little bit more specifically on how that's gonna be assessed? Is it by season, month to month, year to year?
It's provided in summary, but it is broken down month to month. So if we can get a copy of your annual utility bill, like 1 month's worth of utilities, we can assess how your usage is going currently, and then we can prorate what that's going to be based on new windows and new glass. So great question. That is part of what we're looking for as well, is if we can get 1 year's worth of utility bills, it not only gives us what your kilowatt hour rate is and your therm rate, but it also gives us a good idea how your usage goes. The other thing that we can provide is your tonnage savings. If you're looking for a future HVAC upgrade for this building or any other building you might be looking at in the future, we can give you an idea what kind of tonnage you're going to save so that you can potentially downsize, if you're looking at an HVAC upgrade, downsize that HVAC system to save you money as well. And that money can be put back towards your building envelope and your aesthetics as well.
Thank you.
Hey, out of curiosity, did anyone ever consider like an Energy Star certification or anything like that for the building?
I'm not aware what an Energy Star certification is.
Well, we did an energy study already.
Okay.
We've done that.
Patrick, who's that question directed towards?
It's just a certification issued by the EPA where it's just a benchmark of the energy performance of a building, and you enter utility bills and it just gives you a benchmark of how the building performs against other similar buildings. So I'm just throwing that out there.
My suspicion is that probably was done a few years back whenever we had, and I can't recall, I think it's Amoresco came in here being the courthouse, and redid a bunch of the electrical and the boilers and revamped some of the windows, but let them all single panes. So I'm going to guess there's probably something like that in our files somewhere, but
we have our own baseline as well from what we've done the last couple of years. So. Craig, you want to?
Yeah.
This is Luis. I have a question on the windows, if I may.
Sure.
We're not going to run into any issues with the former Historical Society group that got the grant the last time these windows were done. And moving forward, are we? Christy, you might know, or will they?
We are going to, Christy, if you want to go first, or otherwise I can jump in.
What did you say, Luis? I didn't quite get the whole thing.
Commissioner, I can answer that. When we did our underfunded presentation, prior to that, I reached out to the Colorado Historical Society and our local historical society, and there are no covenants or easements binding this courthouse to any type of what we can and can't do at the courthouse. Why that didn't happen after apparently we used historical funds for some of that upgrade, I think in 2001 or 2003, I can't answer, but as of right now, there are no easements against this or put against this courthouse.
From what I understand, there's a 5-year easement after that project, so it has expired.
Was it 5 years? I thought they were 20. Okay, good.
They can go up to 50, I've been told. But so we're going to, I mean, what we want to do is, you know, absolutely, you'll hear maintain this historical integrity of the building a lot, because that's, you know, very much what we want to do. We don't want to put pink windows in or, you know, some sort of neon reflective glass. We want to improve the building's operations and for the occupants and for the infrastructure, and provide what it is, which is a modern work environment. It is a historic courthouse, but it is a place where people work each day. They shouldn't have to deal with, you know, freshly painted 100-year windows that beam sun in and let in cold air. And so in terms of how we're going to go through that project, we are going to maintain some communication with the Historical Society, because that's the respectful thing to do. You know, their Bible is the Department of Interior guidebook, which says, don't do this, don't do that, and hadn't been updated in a long time. So we don't need to go through them, but, you know, they have a good intent, and we want to make sure that that we're in line with him where we can. But it's your courthouse, and if this is the project you want to do, this is the project we recommend, then we're going to move forward confidently in that.
Yeah, Wes, let me interject. Yeah, we don't have to go or work with the Historical Society, but we will, because they had asked us to, and they are also part of the underfunded committee that says yes or no on grants. So that was one of the conditions of getting the underfunded grant monies, was that we will run stuff past the Historical Society, any improvements.
Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You've got experience doing that, you know, and as does the Apogee team. And Kevin, I don't know if you want to chime in anything. So I know you've worked with them a lot more than I have.
Yeah. And sorry, I didn't bring that before, but that's one of the areas that we excel in. Our products and services are generally well accepted by the various historical societies. The Schipholz do enjoy working with us, because the window companies that belong with Apogee or have no problem guys to mimic the perimeter trims or mullions or the window systems that are currently there. In fact, we've got such a large array of products that there's a really good chance that in order to mimic what's there, we don't have to cut new dies or customize, except for maybe a piece of trim, brick molding, or something like that. But our main intent is to get you a high-performance window and glass product that very much resembles what's there, both in the style, in color, whatever you want to do to customize that. Where a lot of the folks, the window companies that are out there, want you to utilize their standard systems, and it just doesn't work out. Now, you have double-hung windows. Based on what I see on the elevations on Google Earth and what I've been exposed to by Craig and his team, but it sounds to me like you might want to make or keep the operable look. Is that correct? You want the operable efficiency, but doesn't necessarily have to be a double hung window, an offset glass plane with an operable projected window or something like that. Is that something that you would consider? We can look at it many different ways. So I just kind of want to get a launch place from that perspective.
I think what I'd like to see is maybe some sample windows or samples of some of the windows that you guys are contemplating.
Yeah, and Phil, that was one thing, you know, whenever I was, I've got a couple slides up here, you know, just to kind of give you guys some general explanations, but you know, one thing that, we do quite often, is a mock-up. You know, we come out there, we make our best estimate. You know, we still go through the same processes, get all the drawings approved and show you guys conceptuals. But ultimately, know, at the end of the day, it's sometimes it's hard to make those calls, you know, if you're working with historic societies and folks like that, you know, by looking at pieces of paper. You know, this allows us to come out, you know, install one window to where everybody can touch it, feel it, make comments, ask questions, you know, to where you've got something hard to look at. And if it, we install it and it looks great, then now you've also got the baseline of what you can expect once we come out to do the duration of the project. So
is that what your intent is, Craig, when you go out on the 13th?
I won't have a window ready, but I would be ready to leave with, to place an order for one, yes. And actually, I don't know what kind of access I would have to the building. I would want to, you know, we're in Kansas City. I mean, it's a commute for me to get out there to you guys, but I would, I'd like to just go through and get all of my field verifications done ahead of time to where I don't have to come back. So, you know, if we, everything goes great, mock-up installs great, and everybody's ready to move forward, you know, it's just as simple as me pushing a button and we can release our manufacturers to get started.
Phil, do you want me to schedule that with Kenny?
Yes, that'd probably be best.
Okay.
On the 14th, correct?
And the 13th as well.
Yeah. I got to look at flights, see what time I'd come in on the 13th, but you know, likely it'd be an afternoon of the 13th, and then I'd come back the morning of the 14th and you know, leave sometime afternoon of the 14th. So, and obviously I'll plan on bringing some samples with me, you know, glass samples, color samples. We've got a few window samples here. I just have to see what I can get in. I can put on the plane with me. So
you can, Craig, you can ship those to our office as well.
Okay, perfect.
And maybe getting in the weeds too far this early, but one of the things that was asked of me and this upgrade, especially with the windows, is that the windows on the, and I don't know how much more expensive it is to put, and I don't know how, what the product's called, but to put the tint on the windows or inside the glass or however that's done, but especially on the west side of the courthouse, if we can afford it to put that tint in there to help reflect some of the summer sun rays off of those windows, rather than having them do thermal heating by having that sun, by having the sun rays come through those windows.
Yeah, well, the thing is nowadays, you know, the low E coating, you know, was introduced in the early 90s. So if odds are if your building's older than that, you've never had a chance to really experience the benefits of it. You know, what the low E coating was designed for is to, you know, to capture all those rays, yeah, and it give you the same, you know, the same thermal values as you would have with a tinted piece of glass, but also allows you to have the natural light in the building. Now, having tint on glass is still a popular item. So absolutely, we can still do that. You know, that's standard run-of-the-mill stuff for all of my manufacturers. But it's also sometimes it, you know, if you can get the same performance out of that, that piece of glass, but still give yourself some natural light, you know, that's, those are a lot of the things we like to look at on the front end. And I'll have a couple samples with me and I'd be happy to, you know, walk outside, you know, show you guys kind of what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And do I have permission to share my screen here?
Yeah, let me see if I can figure out how to do that.
Got the button here. You want me to go? I'll go ahead and click on it. You're all right with that. See if it works.
Got to make you a host, I think.
Oh.
Can I take this time to ask a question about the fourth floor when Colton and I think it was Rebecca came? They didn't even know that there was a fourth floor. I had to take them up there and show them. Is the plan to replace the windows on the fourth floor as well?
Yes, the plan is to replace every window in the building.
Okay.
Unless we're directed otherwise, and that's a good example of that. That's why that scope is the work, because I bet there's still a couple windows we haven't seen as well, which is why Greg's going to come out and do some site verification.
They were going to come on the 28th and 29th to measure. I didn't see them. Did they come and do that measurement?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. They did not. Craig is going to come out for that. So it'll be Craig leading that effort now. Hi, Bob. Good to see you.
Thank Mary, you. Are you allowed to share the screen now?
I should be. All right. Can everybody see my screen here?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to start with, you know, typically, you know, we've done a lot of, well, window replacements is our specialty, so we've done a bunch of them. Majority of the scenarios that we would use for this project is something a lot like what you're going to see on this graphic right here. You know, to where you're looking at the old wood window, and then it's a manufacturer designed, tested, approved. It comes with the same warranty, same performance as the window itself. You know, it's an extruded piece of painting. Yeah, Kevin, correct me. What is it? 3/16 thickness typically. Anyhow.
Yeah, typically the framing is 1/8 inch,
okay.
And, especially around the anchor points. And then your detail shows, I believe, it's not real clear, but that should be an insulated glass unit as opposed to a 1/4 inch monolithic to give you that performance that you're looking for.
So, but a lot of times what this involves is, you know, this sash comes out, all these stops come out. We're inspecting this wood here to confirm that it's all not going to, you know, we're going to have solid anchoring points. You know, anything that's rotted, you know, we're going to take out. But what this does is, you know, because in a lot of these older wood windows, you know, over time before, you know, everybody figured out that lead paint was hazardous, you know, there was lead paint that was applied to them. We're lead certified renovators, but, you know, the EPA requires us to go through a certain amount of steps to make sure that we keep all the occupants safe, you know, to make sure that you guys don't have anything, you know, lead paint's not necessarily dangerous to adults, but you wouldn't want to get dust on your clothes and then end up taking it home. And, you know, if you got a kid or a grandkid and have them exposed to it, because those are the ones that lead paint could be harmful to. But, you know, it's also an option, you know, we can take those wood windows out. Yeah, it just comes down to where's the cost balance at? You know, we've done them both ways. Yeah, so this would be probably, as it stands today, this is the option I think the direction I'm going to want to go, but we've also done it before on a job like this where we would, you know, basically tear everything right down to the masonry. And then we would be going back with a receptor subframe system. So this one's just showing a sub-sill. I was on the wrong page there, but essentially what it is, you know, this piece here, it's a two-piece U-channel. And so what that allows for is, you know, allows for, as that window, you know, expands and shrinks with the weather, allows it to flex within that subframe. And, you know, really to the point where, you're not going to, you know, and also, you know, old buildings, none of them are going to be perfectly plumb, level, and square. Yeah, this allows us to keep the window plumb level and square and give you guys a good consistent sight line on the exterior of the building while allowing the window to perform at its, as it's designed, you know, so.
Craig, at this point, these are both options, correct?
Correct. You know, and really, yeah, my plan whenever we're going to be in front of you folks ready to tell you what our plan for the project is, you know, a lot of times I like to give multiple options, you know, because a lot of times there are different costs associated with multiple options. And that's, I likely see that being the case here. You know, it's where I'll walk you through, all right, this is what our findings, you know, we've got option A to go this route, option B to go this route, here are the benefits of this route, here are the drawbacks of this route, you know, and all the way around, just where everybody feels good moving forward is essentially what it comes down to.
Craig, with the aluminum windows, like you've done in the past, I just want to confirm we can maintain like the interior sills and the interior character of those courthouse windows from the inside, especially.
Yes, absolutely. And we would plan on leaving as much of that as in place as possible, because I can tell you from experience, if my installers accidentally damage it, it is a nightmare to get something else new back up there to match it. It's not a process we like to go through because it's tough to simulate something that's 100 years old, you know, with something new that goes up there. But yes, no, absolutely. You know, that's, yeah, especially if it's in, you know, in good shape, you know, there's no reason to touch it. It's, you know, it looks cool and it, you know, there's, it's a no brainer. So, yeah, I can go into more details if you guys want. I'll go ahead and stop sharing my screen as it's, right now. But hopefully that kind of gives you a little bit of a sneak peek as to, you know, what we're going to be doing.
So if Craig and others will be on site 13th and 14th, I'll get with Phil and we'll get an email invite to everybody just in case anyone wants to speak with Craig in person or take a look what he's got. Any questions, thoughts, concerns on the windows? Yeah, Bob?
Will the windows be operable?
I believe so, Phil, right?
Yeah, and essentially that'll be one of the choices we'll give you guys. You know, as far as sight lines, I can give you guys a much narrower sight line and more glass with a fixed window. You know, because those older wood windows, you know, they were operated by a big lead weight and a rope is what allowed you to take that window and move it up and down. You know, nowadays we have access to, you know, balances which give us, you know, much more consistent and better long-term performance and ease of operation. But with that, it does, you know, we do have to put a little bit thicker sight line on what that window is going to show. So yeah, no, absolutely. You know,
it can be both, Bob. It can be, I mean, there can be sections, for instance, of fixed windows, for instance, a vault that has no, you know, if you want to increase security, but you know, until we have that HVAC system, I disagree with Phil, but he thinks that it'd be good to give you all some fresh air over the next year or so.
Well, I just want to have the ability to put the window units in. Otherwise, it's 100 degrees when we do a jury trial.
Right.
It's, yeah.
Even with operable windows.
We could in that scenario, you know, let's say, it, you know, not to get too deep into the window nerd stuff, but let's say that, you know, we like the look of a fixed window and thin sight lines it gives us. You know, in that scenario where you'd have to put in an air conditioning unit, what I would do is I would recommend putting in an insulated metal panel to where, I mean, it glazes right in the pocket with the glass. I leave you a piece of glass that fits exactly in that opening. So once you guys finish up your HVAC project, you know, that metal panel that supported that old air conditioning unit comes out, you know, the piece of glass that matches all the other ones gets glazed right in and you're good as new.
And I think, you know, with the HVAC project in the future, you know, there's often a concern of, well, once we have up that HVAC system, we're going to be wasting energy with everyone opening their windows, which, you know, in theory is correct. But, you know, that's, you know, what I often say is become a habit, right? So that habit will break in the future once, you know, once people have a proper heating and cooling system, that urge to open their window to get comfortable, you know, will quickly fade. And oftentimes they're just kind of opened to get some fresh air. And then, you know, just a little bit of communication and work in the future with occupants to maintain closed windows whenever it's appropriate. Having upper windows is not going to be a bad thing down the road. So we'll customize kind of each section of the building as Craig goes out there. So we'll identify what's fixed, what's not, what's bulletproof, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, thank you. I agree with that approach. The underfunded commission may not have money for a few years. They only have $250,000 this year for emergencies and master planning. Maybe the same next year because of the COVID budget. I'm not sure when the HVAC system will be able to be replaced.
So if there's any other questions for Craig, he'll still be on here. I'd like to jump into the really exciting stuff, which is electrical infrastructure, where we talk about outlets and wiring and MVP and all that good stuff. So yeah. Nick and
Lesson, you want me to go ahead and you want me to let Kevin with Apogee go? I'll still stay on, but
whatever you guys want to do.
Another meeting's going on this afternoon, so I was going to let him drop off if that's okay.
No worries. Whatever you guys want to do.
All right.
Nick, you and Patrick want to kick off a little electrical conversation?
Sure. I'll kick it up. And then I'll let Patrick fill in what I miss here. We our goal here is to take what's in the facility now and do two things. One, make it safe and up to code. So there are there's some older electrical equipment in there that really does need updated. And the second thing is to provide enough capacity in terms of both circuit breakers and electrical load capacity for additional loads, because as they become more modernized, they need more electrical power, but also to prepare the building for a future HVAC improvement project, if there is one, especially to add cooling to the building, which is typically a very large electrical load. So with all that in mind, we're developing an entirely new distribution system for the building. And that's something Patrick's working on right now, as he's already seen the building and taken a lot of notes as to what's in there. Patrick, if you want to go ahead and explain what we did the other day in preparation for this and what you're planning to do going forward.
Sure. So we went here, I guess, about a week and a half ago, and we deployed some loggers in the panels around the building just to give us a snapshot of the loading, you know, at different places, just to kind of give us a baseline. You know, we really don't have any existing drawings or panel schedules that show us loading of anything. So I guess I find that it's pretty valuable to do that, to get a good snapshot of the loading, of the current loading of a building. And so we did get a set of floor plans, and we did document where the panels are around the, you know, the floors. We went in the, you know, the different closets and saw all that. And then of course the main gear. I mean, we did determine that it's a 600 amp, not to get into the weeds too much here, but it's a single phase system, 600 amp. And, you know, most likely we would want to go to a three phase system. You know, and the size we haven't quite figured out, but once we look at the data and the new, and, you know, look at projected loads, you know, as well as these new receptacles that the county apparently wants, you know, we'll take all that together and come up with, you know, our recommended system upgrade. So one of the things we did, so not to get off topic here too much, but we did notice in some of the closets that there were IT cables, you know, low voltage cables and some other things. And, you know, like Nick just mentioned some of the safety issues. We noticed some of the low voltage data cables and other things that were, I guess, frankly, not ideally located. And we had, you know, had a few code issues for working space and that sort of thing. And so we, you know, it may be valuable. What I think would be valuable is to perhaps meet with the IT manager for the county or the courthouse. I'm not sure who that is, but to talk about that, because, you know, like I guess Weston mentioned, you know, some part of the scope was the voice over IP system. And, you know, that ties right into your Ethernet and your network architecture. And so if we need to reroute some of the cables and put a few more cord drills in to kind of clean up the closets, I mean, this would be a good time to do so, in my view. But
so, speaking of closets, sorry, Patrick, to interrupt. Sure. One of the things Weston mentioned earlier was this is a good opportunity for us to discuss routing and exposed conduit and that sort of thing. Because most of the distribution panels are in closets now, most of the work we do will not be seen by the public when it's done. It'll remain in the chases that it's in now. The new panels will be in the closets that they're in now. The main distribution panel will be in the basement. The exception to that is adding receptacles to office spaces. We know there's a need to add some receptacles, but because a lot of that building is stone, marble, and plaster, as we do that, a lot of those receptacles will have to be fed by surface mount conduit. And so that's going to be sort of a chore that we'll be taking on soon to work with whoever you see fit to kind of walk through and map out where those should be. But just keep in mind, the more those we add, the more likely it'll be that we'll have to add some surface mount conduit in the office areas, not the hallways or the entry or any place like that. But in the office areas, there will be some surface mount conduit. Sorry, Patrick, I didn't mean to interrupt there.
Right, yeah, that's a good point. And yeah, on one of my, I guess one of my next trips, that was my thought, was to go down there and, you know, and get some more feedback on where they would like a new conduit or new receptacles in the offices. In fact, we might want to just, what we might want to do is just take our floor plans and just kind of document some of the existing outlets, and then we can show where they want new ones at the same time. So,
Phil, do you have someone in mind who can help us determine where the new ones should go?
I think it'd be best to get with each elected official for their offices, mm-hmm. and then each one of the department heads on first floor and work with them.
Phil, didn't we do that a few months back, get with all of our elected officials and have a diagrams put in place? I believe it had to be 6 months ago. I remember specifically going into Donna's office, the treasurer's office, and Anthony Minte was making a diagram at that time.
I believe that was telephones, Luis, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, thank you, Paula.
We this is Kim. We did go through and we marked off where all the telephone jacks were and how many phones were in each office.
Okay. I've had a lot of luck in the past working with department heads as a point of contact, whether we getting feedback from there or not, but Nick, that's probably the best plan to get it going.
Okay.
And then I would like to be participant for that for the courts. We'll want to put in some additional dedicated circuits for air conditioning units for courtrooms until we get the HVAC project done. So I had a couple questions for Patrick on your load study that you did or are going to do. Keep in mind that you're doing a load study on choices that we're making to flip things off and flip things on in a break room, for example, that has copiers, shredders, coffee pot, microwave. We have to turn the lights off to use the microwave, or we have to make those decisions. So the capacity that we are currently at, is there some factor that you will add in to say, okay, here's your current load, but really you're making some choices that your need is higher than what your current load is. And then also that feedback that we're going to need to say, we need dedicated circuits because right now we can't run two air conditioners in the courtroom. We have to flip one off or we'll trip circuit breakers.
Well, this is good. This is good to know. And yes, I mean, I wasn't aware that you had nuisance tripping, you know, because of circuits that were overloaded. You know, so I wasn't aware of that. I mean, we will certainly look to upsize, you know, feeders and panels where we need to do that. You know, it seemed to me, and Nick, you could chime in, it seemed to me most of the panels were pretty full and, you know, didn't have a lot of empty spaces or spares in them. And, you know, that's something we need to look at, you know, and so I, you know, I don't know if there's, you know, circuits which have, if it's because there's circuits, like each circuit has just one or two outlets on it, or if that's because there's just that many circuits, but, you know, we may want to look at that and recircuit some things in a more efficient way. You know, but certainly we want to do it in a way where you're not going to have nuisance tripping and you could.
Yeah, I brought in an electrician to come in to spread out the load in my county courtroom because we kept tripping that circuit. There's two circuits in there and mm-hmm. I used to be able to plug in two air conditioners, but now technology is advanced with what we're putting in courtrooms are all electronic that we're running and tripping things because we have 15 things running in there with multi scanners and printers and things. But part of it is our electrician said you run an extension cord for 20 feet and it's really designed for 6 feet and that takes extra amperage. So the distance from the outlet to the window unit that we have is too far. But he said the panel's full. We can't put in anything else in that panel.
Yeah.
That's all being replaced.
We saw that throughout the building. And that's one of the things we'll be we'll be fixing, essentially. A lot of the panels that we've seen in the building are small, actually residential style panels, and they need to be replaced with larger commercial grade panels that can allow you to put up to 42 circuits on the panel itself. When we're done, there'll even be some spare spaces. So as technology increases more and there's more of a need to add more circuits and receptacles, those can be added in the future.
So yeah, I hope that answers your question, Bob, to some degree.
Good. I do have a question for the commissioners, Bob. I guess going forward, as we get more on site, I think everyone agrees there is value, especially in something like what we're talking about now, to do in-person site walks, have one more in-person meetings. But with the current condition of where one is, that's not, you can work around anything. But as Patrick and Nick start getting on site, Craig as well, is that something that this group would be comfortable doing in the right setting?
I'm sorry, I was responding to an email. Could you repeat the question?
That was for the commissioners and for the county.
Gotcha, sorry.
This is Luis.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I think that would be valuable to have some sort of walkthrough or what you're recommending with the board or with our staff, especially or one commissioner. We have to still watch the safety protocols of the COVID and be careful with that, but I think that'd be beneficial for us. Also, we have spoken to electricians in the community wanting to know if they're going to have opportunities at this as well, and there was some concern there, so that might be able to answer those questions for us about local contractors bidding or not bidding on this project.
Luis, the short answer, as they ask, is the answer is yes. We are intending to put this scope of work out to local and regional contractors, especially since we are aware that there are some great electrical contractors in Trinidad itself that could handle this work. So if they do approach you on that, just I will, as we kind of understand when that timing is going to be, we'll get that information to you. But your short answer to them right now is yes, it is going to be a competitive bid process for local electrical contractors.
And another question I have regarding the one-phase system we're on now to a three-phase. Are we going to need to get permission from the city of Trinidad? I believe we'd have to have different transformers to make that possible, correct? Do we need that permission, or do we just install it ourselves? How does that work?
Generally with the electric utility, you get whatever you're willing to pay for. And so if you say you need a three-phase service, yes, they're going to have to put in a new pad mounted transformer, a three-phase transformer. And that adds cost, it just adds cost to the project. But if that's what we have to do, so be it.
There's actually a three-phase transformer out there now. You're only using two of the phases to get single-phase power. Yeah. But we haven't done the calculations yet, but we have an assumption, or there's speculation, that transformer isn't going to be large enough. And so it needs to be replaced anyway, or a second one added. So we already have plans to work with the utility to get that underway as part of this project. And just to touch quickly on local contractors, if you get questioned by a local contractor about bidding on this project, if you could pass their information on to us so we can make sure to include them, that would be really helpful as well. Yep. We don't want to miss out on, we don't want to miss anybody there.
Yeah, and it's, when it's put in the local newspaper, or they don't see it often enough, or on websites or something. So I think, Mr. Dorenkamp, if we can, and Wilden, Weston, if we can work with the local contractors to, when it comes up, we reach out to them and let them know it's available to them.
Absolutely. Does that get put on the bid system?
Who was that, you, Bob?
Yeah, right. The electronic bids?
We do not, unless you guys would like us to. Are you talking about like Rocky Mountain e-purchase?
Yeah, that's the county fiscal. That's their, according to their fiscal rules, whether or not they do that or have to do that. But I'm just asking, because I'll probably get questioned by electricians as well. And I'd just like
we
to know.
We can post it wherever you guys would like, but overall, what we want to do over, you know, while Nick and Kevin are in design is identify contractors, put them through a quick pre-qualification process. So, you know, we'll take any calls, we'll take any interest. What we will do though is kind of give them a little packet that we need them to fill out that looks at their financial stability, their project size and history, how they did in those projects, what their manpower looks like, what their availability is. And so really our own internal pre-qualification process, because what we don't want to do is hire the most well-liked electrician in Trinidad and the project goes sour because he's not a qualified and capable contractor. So it's always it's what you guys want and what we need in the end. And so we'll put anyone through that pre-qualification process. And once they get through that, they will be invited to bid the project when documents are ready.
And one more for me on the electrical side of it is to, you know, there's so much when it comes to electrical, it's your infrastructure on this project, and you really can't go in and tear it out and redo and make over. And so I guess what I'm asking is that we don't leave anything open-ended or oops, we forgot that. We can't afford any add-ons, and I know contractors make their money through add-ons and stuff like that, because this is just through a grant and our monies are set and there's no access to more funds. So I would just caution when the master plan or plans come out for this, that they're 100% complete.
Yes, sir. And we're very aware of that budget for sure, and how that budget, even over the last couple of months, has become even more important. As we sit here today, and until they're real numbers, they're imaginary. But we feel good about how we built that budget over the last couple of years, how we increased it in terms of escalation and contingencies on both these projects. And the best way to not leave anything out, but also not get scope creep, is really understanding as a group, not just what we say, but what you guys understand as well. What is the base project? What is the definition of success in this project? And then what are additional scopes of work that, we think are important, that we, kind of this needs and wants list, and get those bid out as add alternates, as secondary projects that, here's the base project, and maybe there's four add alternates on each project. So we'll at least have those numbers, and when everything comes in, now we can make decisions around that, instead of saying, wow, we bid a project that was way too big for us. Does that make sense, sir?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And with respect to that comprehensive plan, Luis, I would like to talk about the lighting in the building too. Is part of this project going to be to replace some of the old inefficient lights and yellow lights and put in either LEDs or some more efficient lighting that is brighter?
We'd like to see what that looks like, Bob, price-wise, especially, many electrical contractors would do that scope. So if we have someone bidding a big project who's on site, who has the manpower, there's an economy of scales that kick in by growing that scope. I can't say yes or no, but I think Nick and I have talked enough behind the scenes to think that we should take a look at what an LED project looks like, just to knock it off once and for all. But I can't tell you now if it would be the base scope or not, but I think it would be a good example for an alternate.
There's some grant monies that hopefully they still might be available that we utilized when we did the fairgrounds upgrades on electrical through San Isabel. I'm not sure, but that's something we can look at as well. And so we can't, don't want to forget there might be, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 rebate involved.
Nick Peterson is a San Isabel expert. Love him.
San Isabel has some great rebate programs. And I could take up the rest of your meeting extolling the virtues of, of LED lighting, and how it could improve not only your energy bill but your work environment. But frankly, the electrical system is both a safety and workability concern, so that is the priority. if we can do lighting as well, we would love to, and I know you would be happy with the results. But the electrical needs to get fixed first.
Yeah, if the next time I'm down there, if someone wants to identify, you know, a couple of areas where they think the lighting is deficient, you know, or whatever, we can certainly note that. And like Weston said, we can make an ad alternate, you know, at the time of bid and get some pricing for it. And if everything works out right and the prices come in, you know, low and we can meet our budget, then great. You know, we can add it to the project.
I'd be happy to walk you around the third floor and show you some of the lighting issues that we have here.
Okay.
So I think we'll shoot, and I'm not speaking for Patrick, but you know, with the 13th and 14th kind of already being on the books with the window gang, we'll probably try and shoot to have some electrical representation there as well. And that's probably the next kind of big kickoff from that date, you know, and as they get field verifications and site measurements, we'll be full in on design. So over the coming weeks, I'm going to update a schedule for everyone of what that new design timeline looks like, lead times on product, what kind of each part of the construction looks like. We'll have a meeting with our construction manager. We'll talk about what the invasiveness of each project looks like. Unlike a school, there's no summer break. So, you know, core drilling, as we talked about, you know, they'll be work inside and out. So we want to make sure that you guys are aware of what that looks like. And like we did last time, Phil, is kind of customize adjustments to that. So that's probably our next topic in a couple of weeks, and we'll probably want to do that on site.
Okay.
That's all I have today. I'm sure there'll be questions after this. We'll get some contact sheets out. That would be great. Anyone is welcome to reach out to anyone on this team. You guys can ask me an electrical question, but just let you know, I'm going to ask Nick and Patrick. So I think something that I like about us is that, you know, the less we play telephone, the more we get direct to the source, the better for everyone. So we'll kind of make that the standard of communicating, but feel free to reach out to me for anything as well.
Hey, thanks, Weston. Thanks, everyone else.
Hey, everyone.
Thank you. Good meeting y'all.
Thanks a lot.